up. And appreciate you guys. So right there where you're at, you could go ahead and grab your Bible and turn to the book of Mark chapter 4. Amen. And I promise I'm not going to be too long this morning, as long as you guys are smiling. It might be a rough morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. Give me a loud amen when you get there. By the way, Larry, powerful song. Very nice. Amen. And worship was awesome this morning. Amen. The whole service. I hope you're expecting now. Amen. I hope you're not just sitting in your chair or standing there, just in the routine of church. Amen. Sometimes you just got to remind yourself. You got to break out of your routine. Amen. Sometimes you just got to shake yourself up and say, you know what, snap out of it. Amen. If you look at your neighbor and they look like they're in the routine, you can tell them too. Snap out of it. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41, the Bible reads, "On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let us go across to the other side.' And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and the other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. He said to them, 'Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?' And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, 'Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" Father, we come before you this morning, Lord. We love you. We thank you, God, for who you are. We thank you for your presence that's already here, God. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, God. And we just pray that your Holy Spirit would have full control of this service, Lord. We love you. We lift up our pastors as they're ministering down south, God. We pray that, Father, as Pastor Danny's preaching this morning, that he'd be preaching with power, God, right now, Lord. We love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have your seat here this morning. Amen. So the title of my message this morning is, "This Too Shall Pass." Now, we're talking here in the book of Mark chapter 4 about a story that takes place with the disciples and Jesus. Now, they had already been going along with Jesus. They had already been called, and they've already witnessed many miracles. They've already witnessed Jesus do amazing and miraculous things, and so they were not new to it. They had already seen Jesus do the impossible. And how many of you know that no matter how many times we see Jesus do the impossible, we still have a little bit of doubt for what he can do in our future? There's always a little doubt saying, you know, I know, God, that you took me out of the last thing, but I'm not sure if you could take me into the next thing. And see, what Jesus was doing is he was building their faith. And along our Christian walk, and as we go, and of course we get saved, we come into the church, and then we start a process, right? And along this process, along this journey, God begins to build our faith. Yes, we've witnessed miracle, but how many know that we're stubborn people, that we can witness a miracle and still have unbelief in our hearts? I appreciate the one amen. Praise the Lord. It's going to be a long morning. Keyboard player, get comfortable. You're going to be there a while. No, just kidding. But we can get comfortable. We can can still have a lack of faith. A lack of faith, no matter what God brought us out of. That's just the way we are, the way we see things is a lack of faith. And I want to talk to you this morning about trials and tribulation and storms, which is always a very inspiring topic. Come on, somebody. Very encouraging message this morning. But how do we know that storms are a part of it? Right? It's a part of the process. Let me go ahead and jump into this thing. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. The Bible says, on that day. And how do we know that there's always a that day in our lives? There's always a day. I remember the other day, it was that day. Right? And I was driving to work, and there was something in the road. I don't know what it was. I ran over it, and I ran over it with both tires on one side, and I had two blowouts right there on the freeway. Right? And bam! And you know, it was that day. Come on, somebody. Right? And I was cruising on you know, two tires, and I ain't stopping on the freeway. I got out the next exit. Right, my rims touching the ground. Come on, somebody. Found the closest tire shop. It was pretty close. And I remember, it was, you know, ever been to a place where they talk you into the warranty? Come on, somebody. They talk you in, right? So I'm at Discount Tire, and I get some tires, and we, you know, they're like, hey, for, you know, they come with the warranty, but, you know, there's this extended warranty. Right? You can get it. It's like another $30, and, you know, for 100,000 miles, no matter what happens to your tire, we're going to fix it. And you're like, hey, that's a pretty good deal, right? So I pay the $30, right? I get two flat tires, right? Don't, no applause yet. This is a bad story, right? I make it off the freeway, but the tire shop wasn't a Discount Tire. I got a warranty. I got an extended warranty. I just don't have a warranty to this tire shop that I'm at. It was that day. Come on, somebody. There's always a that day. But what we have to realize is no matter what happens on that day, that today is always the day that the Lord has made. And I will rejoice and be glad in it. No matter what happens in my that day. Sometimes you got to tell that day. You say, not today, devil. You got to look at your day and say, you know what, devil, not today. I don't care if I get a flat tire, if I run out of milk for my cereal. Come on, somebody. I know who drank it already. I can tell because I saw their cereal bowl still had a bunch of milk left in it. They didn't even drink it. No, not today, devil. Right? We get that phone call. Right? You get that phone call and you get some bad news. All you know, right away, it wants to deflate your faith. Right? But sometimes you got to look at it and say, you know what? Not today. Not today. It says, on that day, when evening had come, he said to them, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat. See, I believe that there's always another side. That we have to make it to the other side. Right? Where are we at today? Where are you at today? Where do you want to be? Right? You got to take a self-evaluation. Ever took a self-evaluation? And like, man, I'm all messed up. Come on, somebody. I'm all messed up. I shouldn't have took that self-evaluation. But God wants to take us to the other side. Right? God always wants to take us to the other side. Whatever it is. And in our marriage, right? He wants to take us to the other side. He wants to take us through the storms and the trials, right? He wants to take us into a place of victory, a place of joy, and a place of walking in God's blessings and promises for our life. Right? He wants to take you to the other side of your calling. Right? He wants to take you to the other side in your family. He wants to take you on the other side, across from depression and anxiety. Right? He wants to take you to the other side in your finances. Right? He doesn't want you to stay stuck financially. He wants to bless your life. Right? To live a life of more than abundant life. right? An abundant life of increase. Take you to the other side. You know what you have to do in order to get to the other side? See, we always talk about the story about Peter, right? Peter, what did Peter do? Peter stepped out of the boat, right? Sometimes you got to take a step out, right? We talk about taking a step out, right? You know, you want to take you got to take a risk, right? Take a step out. But, you know, before you can take a step out, you got to take a step in, right? I said before you can take a step out of the boat, you have to get in the boat. Right? So you say, I want to be blessed, God. God, I want to fulfill my calling, God. I want to see breakthrough in my... You ain't even stepped in the boat yet. You got to get in the boat. Say, God, I surrender. Right? You want the blessings, but you don't want to surrender to God. Come on, somebody. And so we got to surrender our lives. You want to walk with God, you got to step in the boat with God. It's time to go in to the other side. Doesn't it always feel like maybe that you're on the outside looking in? Right? Sometimes it feels like we're on the outside looking in. Right? The outside, we're sitting in our chairs in church, or we're sitting at our jobs, and you see it on the employee of the month board. Come on, somebody. You see Frankie, you see her, you see him. Everybody, January, February, March, April, and you're like, man, I wish my picture was an employee of the month, right? You see people getting raises, promotions, right? You see all these things, and even in the church, people taking a step of faith and fulfilling their call in church, right? Being a life group leader or coming on the worship team and different things taking place. And it seems like it's exciting. You're like, yeah, I'm excited for you. But it always feels like you're on the outside looking in instead of being all the way in. Right? If we want to cross over to the other side, we got to get all the way in. Get all the way in. No looking back. No second guessing, just jump all the way in, right? You see people year after year say, man, I wish I could make it. Once and for all, I want to get over this trial, or I want to get out of this addiction, or I want to break this curse, or I need breakthrough in this area. Listen, you got to get all the way in. You want to get in the boat. God wants to take you to a place where you can step out of the boat. Can't do that from the shore. You can't walk on water from the shore. You got to get in the boat. Second thing in that portion of scripture, it says they left the crowd. Come on, somebody. Sometimes the crowd got us handcuffed. Come on. Right? Holding us down. Every time you say, you know what, I think I can, they say, no, you can't. Who you think you are? Mr. Big Stuff? You thought I was going to go there. I went there. Who you think you are? You'll never do that. You'll never step out. You'll never get that. You'll never get that promotion. Look at your education, right? Or look at that. Look at your background. Like, you don't know nobody. You ain't from these parts. You're insignificant. Listen, God is in the business of using insignificant people to do amazing things. If you're insignificant, then you're a prime candidate for God to use your life. You gotta leave that crowd behind. Leave them behind. They ain't going nowhere. You can tell because they're still in the same place they were last year. They've been in the same place. Their address is the same. It's called stuck. Come on, somebody. If you don't want to stay stuck, you gotta leave that crowd behind. Mark chapter 4, verse 37. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boats that the boat was already filling. Like I said before, my second point is there will be many storms. Not just a storm, there will be many storms. I could picture Steve Stucker or Ron Ketty or whoever, you picture them when you get saved, right? They're like in the forecast. We have a steady, we have storms a lot. there are many storms, never-ending many storms in your future. Not a 10-day forecast. This is your 30-year forecast. We have, look, even they got the snowflakes behind me. We see snow and thunderstorms. That's your forecast. That's what's going to go down. There's going to be storms. James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you might be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now, another word for patience right there is endurance or perseverance. So the various trials and storms that we go through are actually there to build us, right, to have perseverance and endurance, right? So when you build a house, you're supposed to build a house according to the environment that it's built in. There's some different standards that when we build houses in New Mexico over than when they build houses on the East Coast that get a lot more snow, or they build houses in Tornado Alley. Come on, somebody. There's different, or in a place that gets hurricanes. There's different things that they have hurricane-tested windows, right? See, when you're a Christian, you don't. When we get saved, we don't automatically. We're not hurricane tested, right? We were the storm, right? We were all tore up. We were like Dorothy's house in the tornado, flying around, our dog flying and everything. But when we get saved, God begins to bring us into a construction, right? Where He begins to get us built a certain way that we might outlast. That we might make it through the storms of our life. But if we never get through it, then God never builds us. Quit tapping out on your storm. Before, as we tap out, halfway through construction. Come on, somebody. We leave. But 4 months in the home. Right? We tap out. Listen, you'll be back. Come on, somebody. You might as well do it the first time. Right? God is at work, building endurance and perseverance in our lives, and He does it through trials. So don't count it strange. And a matter of fact, count it all joy. Right? Thank you, Jesus. Have you ever said thank you, Jesus, to a situation that just blows people's minds? Right? Rolling down that road with the two flat tires. Clunk. Thank you, Jesus. Right? I'm all praise Him. God must not be finished with me yet. I'm going through some stuff. And then the second part of that scripture says, but let patience have its perfect work, that you might be perfect. Now, another word that's used here for perfect is mature. Right? That's how when we grown-up Christians. Right? When we grown-up Christians, then we react to trials differently. Right, the first trial you got, it felt like the end of the world. Right, you're like, I'm saved. This ain't supposed to happen no more. Right? Now listen, you're going to go through storms. But that storm is going to get you ready for the next storm. And then that storm is going to get you ready for the next storm. And then storm after storm after storm, then the storms ain't going to bother you no more. Amen? Because it's building into it, and we're mature and complete, lacking nothing. Look at the story of Joseph in the Bible, right? You see, well, he was a young guy. He was immature, right? There was things happening in his life, but God had a big plan for his life, right? You say, well, how come I'm going through so many storms? Because God has a big plan, right? He's like, God, how come I'm going through all this? He says, because I got all that, right? You say, oh, man, God must have big plans for me. Come on, somebody. He said, I'm going through a big storm. God must have a big plan. Right? Joseph, he saw a vision. Right? Saw a vision, and he shared the vision. What does his brothers do? They throw him in the pit, sell him for slavery. Right? And it's like, oh, man, praise Jesus. I'm in the pit. Come on, somebody. this too shall pass. Listen, if you feel like you're in the pit, then don't worry. This too shall pass. Right? Goes on, gets falsely accused, all those things. Right? He went through a big, long process in prison. Right? And he was the only guy in prison that was there for, you know, and he didn't do nothing wrong. Don't look, hey, I'm not Joseph. I went to the joint. Listen, we did it. We did it. We already served our time. It's all good. You can admit it. We were wrong. We did it. But Joseph didn't do nothing wrong, right? But he went through a lot because God had a lot. Right? God needed to build him because he had something amazing for his life. And that's why we go through the things like that. Mark chapter 4, verse 38. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Ever had one of those moments? Amen. My third point is God is here. No, I love that song, Waymaker. Let me read some of the lyrics. It says, "Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working." I don't know, when that jam comes on, my praise dance comes out. Right? My praise backflip comes out. You see all kinds of stuff. Right? Because it's so true that we don't see it. Sometimes we don't even feel it, but God is always at working, right? Because God is here. Whatever you're going through, God is here, right? God is here. He's here this morning. He's with you when you're in the hospital, right? He's here. He's there when you're going through that trial, right? You look back in different stories in the Bible. God was always there. Don't ever think that they did anything great without God. Right? When David was running down into the valley of Goliath, God was there. Right? God was there when Gideon had his victory. God was there. God was there with Sam. God was there. You always got to remember that God is here because God was there. No matter what you're going through. You might think you might be sleeping. I like it. They added that he was on a cushion. They said, he wasn't just sleeping, he was comfortable. Come on, somebody. He was relaxing. You know, these things don't happen in our time, though. Right? You can't have God's plan on your time. You want God's plan, it has to be in God's time. Come on, somebody. Mark chapter 4, verse 39. And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. See what? There is my fourth point, if I can get the keyboard player up, is that there is power in his words. See, everything that you need is already in the boat. See, Jesus was already in the boat. He was already there. Sometimes we feel like we have to obtain something. Sometimes we have to feel like we have to find something that we do not yet possess. Listen, everything that you already need is already here. Jesus was already in the boat. He was already there. I'm sure the disciples, even though that they were fishermen and they were used to being out on bodies of water, they started to freak out because all the water was coming into the boat. And so you could be in a boat being tossed back and forth. But once the water starts to come inside the boat, see, boats are designed for the water to be outside the boat. But once a certain amount of water begins to go inside of the boat, then it begins to be overtaken, and that boat can sink. But you see here that Jesus, even though that the boat was already taking water, and I'm sure the disciples, according to what they've seen in the past, they got afraid because they knew that this was the amount of storm and water that was going to overtake them. That according to their past experience that this size of storm would overtake this size of boat. According to their professional opinion, according to what they knew from their past, according to what they saw before Jesus was in their boat. And sometimes we're faced with trials now. And sometimes we're faced with storms in today that before Jesus was in our boat, they would have overtaken us. And before Jesus was in our boat, they would have took us out. And then we would not be able to withstand the amount of water coming in. But I want to let you know this morning that it's not like it was before. Now that you have Jesus, the master of the storm, in your boat, now that you have Almighty God, it doesn't matter what kind of storm that you're in. It might be physical storm, or it might be a financial storm. This is what overtook you back then. Is it going to overtake you now? Because now you have Jesus in the boat. The Bible says in Psalms 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. Maybe this morning that you feel like maybe you haven't stepped off the shore yet. Maybe you're that person that hasn't went all the way in yet. Say, I come to church every once in a while. Maybe I've been coming to church for a while, but you know what? That's all it is. I feel like I'm on the outside looking in. Maybe you came here this morning and you feel like you're in the storm of your life. And you feel like jumping out. You feel like grabbing your lifesaver and jumping out of the storm and hitting the eject button. Listen, don't do it. God has something big for you. If you're going through a big trial today, that means God has a big plan for you tomorrow. Don't you dare jump out. If that's you here this morning, I'm not going to labor this altar call anymore. If that's you, say, I need more of God in my life. I need the presence of God in my life. So I want you to step out of your seat this morning and come meet me at the altar.